When it comes to spiritual things or religion, people sometimes have some very bizarre ideas. There's a man who once claimed that he had seen a vision of a celestial warehouse. In this celestial warehouse, he said that there are various body parts. These body parts, he claims, are available to those who need a miraculous healing. You lost an arm? God has one up there as far as a spare part. You just need to name it and claim it. There is another man who says, as he was wearing a particular necktie, he was taken to heaven. He says that any time now that he sniffs that necktie, he's whisked back up into the heavenly realm. There was another person who said that his vision of heaven has caused him to conclude that people carry swords in heaven. They keep out the devil that way. There was another individual that says that heaven has a hole in it, and it is, if you get close to that hole, you go immediately to hell. It's a direct shot. When it comes to spiritual things, human history is literally filled or littered with various ideas. Not all of them, of course, are right or good. In recent weeks, we have studied some information about the Church of Sardis, Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. During this study, we've learned some things about reputation. If you were here last week, we studied some things about the quality of our spiritual life. We picked up from these verses that we can be on spiritual life support. Our spiritual life can deteriorate. It can decline in such a way where just as a person in the secular realm is on life support. Such can also be true for us as we go through life. Today, as we continue our study of this congregation, we want to pick up with a third point. And if you've seen the outline, you know that we're going to talk about the word watchfulness. The opening words in Revelation 3, 2 are these: be thou watchful. Now, this instruction was important for Christians in the first century, and it is also an instruction which is very relevant for our time. When we look at our day and time, we find that this information is important, it's necessary, because people are not always watching and concerned about the truth. In fact, and we've talked about this repeatedly in the Sunday morning class in Revelation, this book presents or portrays for us an ongoing battle between the forces of good, the forces of right, the forces of God, and the forces of wrong and the devil. So early in this book, God tells his people to watch. There is this great spiritual warfare. And God's warning to his people is, if you are not careful, if you are not cautious, if you are not watching, it's very easy to get sucked into the wrong side. This morning I want to do a word study. A word study that's based on Revelation 3, 2, a word study that's based on the word watchful. If we look at this word as far as how it's used in the New Testament, we find that it occurs almost 25 times. And as we look at these 25 or so places, we find that in about half of these places, the word was used by Jesus. Now, I find that to be an interesting point, because when the Lord takes a word and uses it almost half the times when it's used in the New Testament, it apparently is something that Jesus regards as being very, very significant, very, very important. It would be fair to say then that if we are going to preach Christ, which is what's right, what we need to do, we're also going to preach a message of watchfulness. If you want to look at these passages, they should be pretty easy to identify if you have a copy of the outline. If not, we'll try to give you a minute to get to the places where they are. We're going to start in Matthew 24. Jesus, as he uses this word, often uses this word in conjunction with his next and final coming. We find in Matthew 24 this word being used in both Matthew 24:42 and Matthew 24:43. Here Jesus associates this word, as I said, with the end of time. In verse 22, you see the word. He says, watch. Watch therefore, for ye know not on what day your Lord cometh. And then in 43 we find this word again. But you know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched, our word again, and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. The Lord's coming back. Jesus said because of his intended future return, and that will occur, we need to watch. The word that's translated watch in these passages and elsewhere has the sense of watch, be vigilant, be alert, stay awake. Jesus said that we need to be on the alert. We need to be vigilant when it comes to his return. Well, if we think about what this means, it tells us that every second of every day, at least that we're awake, every hour, every minute that we're awake, we need to realize that the Lord could come back at any possible second. Now, there are some things as we look at life that people watch, and they watch closely. This morning, I think probably at least some in this assembly, they looked at their house, they monitored the house, the place where they're staying, and they checked the door to make sure that it was locked before they left. Maybe as they drove down the street, they checked, they looked back to see if their garage door was down. They were watching to make sure that their house was locked up. Some here may have even turned around and said, we need to go back and make sure the door is down. Was it down or not? So we watch things like that, security. When it comes to personal property, people watch. Ladies watch their purses. People watch their cell phones and other things. When it comes to watching, some people watch their health. I need to check my blood sugar several times a day. Or I need to check my heart rate. Or I need to check this or that. I need to check my medicine to make sure that my health needs are met in a regular way. Well, Jesus said a lot of people watch a lot of things. But we need to pay attention, close attention, to his return. And if we're watching, if we're alert, if we're vigilant, we're not going to be caught off guard. As we continue to look at this word, we find it in Matthew 25, verse 13. Here again, Jesus speaks about his second coming, just the next chapter. And once again, the Lord says, because this is such an important event, you need to watch. The Lord knew when it comes to spiritual things, people are not always watchful. And he knew, too, that that failure to watch will cost some people their eternal souls. As we learned last week from Revelation chapter 3, there are some people who end up on spiritual life support. Why? Because they fail to watch. Their spiritual condition is deteriorating. It's falling apart. People are not thinking about the Lord's return. They're not looking where they are spiritually. And they thus end up in the situation that Stan just described for us from that reading, Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now, sometimes people in life have some good intentions when it comes to being watchful, but they fail to be as alert as they should. We see this indicated as we continue to move through the book of Matthew. If you turn to Matthew 26, and several did, that's a good thing. Matthew 24, let's flip across the page to Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, verse 38, we have a time that's shortly before Jesus' death. The Lord at this time asks a few disciples to go with him. He says, I want you to come with me, and I want you to watch. After a little time, the Lord returned to where his men were, and he found that they were not watching. Rather than watch, Jesus found that these men were sleeping. He finds these men, and he uses the word watch two more times. So let's pick up with verses 40 and 41 in Matthew 26. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto them, or saith unto Peter rather, what, could ye not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Imagine how badly we would have felt. Or imagine how badly these men felt when Jesus found them sleeping. The Lord said, I want you to watch. I just need you to watch for a brief or a short period of time, but these men failed to be watchful. Well, the text makes it clear that Jesus was not pleased by this lack of watchfulness on the part of his special friends. These men had slipped up. Jesus thus comes to them and says, you need to watch. There is temptation here. There is a danger here. And you need to be vigilant. Verse 41 tells us that these men had succumbed to temptation and they thus needed to watch and pray, like many today. The spirit is willing. People sometimes have some good intentions. The heart is good, but the flesh is weak. There can be times where it is hard, where it is difficult to be watchful. But God says this is something that's so important, you're just going to have to figure it out. It's something that you need to do because there are some serious and eternal consequences if you don't do it. The book of Matthew has some pointed passages about this word that's translated watch or watchful in Revelation 3. But this is not the only book. Moving from the book of Matthew to the book of Mark, and I'm just going to look at one chapter in this book, Mark 13. We not only have the word watch being used in this chapter, but this word that's translated watch is used three times back to back. In fact, in just four verses, this word is used three times. In rapid fire order, in Mark 13, Jesus says, watch, watch, watch. Well, that makes it sound pretty important. These verses, just like what we studied from Matthew 24, are also associated with Jesus' next and final return. In Mark 13, we'll start with verse 34 and read down through verse 37. Jesus, in talking about his return at the end of time, says, it is as when a man sojourning in another country, having left his house and given authority to a servant, so each one his work, commanded also the porter to watch. There's our word. Watch, therefore, for ye know not when the Lord of the house cometh, whether at even, or at midnight, or at cockcrowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. Sometimes people have the idea that only a select group of people should be watchful. Jesus, as he talks about his next and final coming, he doesn't say to the preacher, well, you watch on behalf of the folks. He doesn't say to an eldership, you watch on behalf of the folks and make sure they're ready. Jesus says, I say to you all, and that has ultimately application to each one, you need to be watchful. That means then that the young, it means the old, it means the male, it means the female, it means the new Christian, it means the old Christian, every single one needs to watch. Spiritual things need to be watched because they're the only things that matter for eternity. If we're not watchful about car maintenance, we may have some issues, but probably we can get through that. And a lack of watchfulness when it comes to automobiles is certainly not going to affect us when it comes to eternity. If we're not watchful about appointments, some people just can never seem to forget an appointment. They forget the dentist appointment and the doctor appointment and paying the car bills and everything else. Well, in eternity, that's not going to matter very much. But if we are not spiritually alert, Matthew 24, Mark 13, we're going to pay, and we're going to pay a high price for it. And then in Luke, still sticking with the idea of Jesus coming, Luke says this as he talks about the word watchfulness. Luke 12, verse 37, blessed are some people. Well, we want to be in that group. Who are the blessed? Who are the people that God is going to prosper? Blessed are they that watch. Do we want to watch? If we want to serve God, if we want to go to heaven, if we want to be among the blessed, yes, we need to watch. In Matthew through Luke, the word translated watch is very, very significant. And it reminds us to be prepared for the Lord's return. As we leave, though, the life of Christ, Matthew through Luke, not looking at any information from the book of John, we, as we continue to study this word, find that it is used in some additional ways to describe some extra things. It is used, for example, in Acts 20, to describe the Apostle Paul and elders at a local congregation that was Ephesus. In Acts 20, verse 31, the Bible says to those elders, this was Paul speaking, you need to watch. But why did these elders need to watch? If we turn over to Acts 20 and look at the preceding verse, Paul gives an answer. Paul said a time was going to come when men from within that Ephesian eldership, Paul said they're going to arise. And these men are going to speak perverse things. Paul said that these men, as they arose, they were going to speak perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. As you look at Acts 20, verse 29, the Bible compares these men to wolves. Paul said that these fellows, they're going to enter the flock, and they are not going to spare the sheep. Paul knew what was going to happen, so he said to these elders, you need to be careful. You need to be alert. You need to be vigilant. You need to be watching for these wolf-like men and stop their perverse ideas. Well, this passage has always applied throughout the Christian era. We need to be watchful for the Lord's return, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. From Acts 20, we also find that there is a need for watchfulness in a local congregation. I'm not sure how many of you saw it, but this was huge, huge news in the church. Main item that we talked about last Monday at a preacher's meeting, and I suspect it's being discussed in pulpits across the land today. Last Monday, 7/8/2013, there was a Connecticut in congregation that made the news. You may have seen it on Facebook. You may have seen it on some other news source. Maybe if you get some Brotherhood News information. But there's a congregation in Connecticut that describes itself as a congregation of the Lord's church, and it has hired, as an intern for a year, a female preacher. I never thought the day would come when I would see a female preacher in the church, but it's come. And it's come within the last week. This congregation, as you go back and you look at what it says, and it had a lot to say, it has come out and it has openly said, we do not want to hold back women, and it is taking a strong stand. It's not only decided to do this, and if they weren't pushy about it, it still wouldn't be good, still wouldn't be right, but they've decided to get pushy about it. One of our universities, David Lipscomb, made an exception in its degree program. Now, our universities, for a number of years, have offered Bible degrees to students, sometimes female students. And that's helpful. There are some ladies that maybe want to homeschool their kids and do some helpful things there. Maybe it wants to be a woman that wants to go and help her husband on the mission field. But there's a special degree program. It's a DMIN, a doctorate of ministry. Now, the people who go for a DMIN program, they're the people who are involved in preaching and teaching. You might get a teaching university position with that, but generally that's a preacher who's probably going to be working with a very large congregation. There has been, to my understanding up to this time, no university associated with the Lord's church that has ever made an exception, that's ever opened up the DMIN program to a woman. Lipscomb has made an exception. And she's now in the DMIN program. We've come to a time where a congregation is holding up a woman, and not only holding her up, they're holding her up high. There is great joy, at least in some circles, about this particular lady. And the articles that I've seen thus far as justifying this, talk about how talented she is, how skilled she interviewed, and all these other things. A couple passages are given as far as this particular event, and then the passages are dismissed out of hand as simply being cultural, irrelevant, no longer apply. Well, that to me is odd, because if you go back and you look at those passages, Paul talked about not culture, but he went back to the beginning. He went back to Adam and Eve in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul talked about women having a spiritual head, and that is the male. Now, there are some who are asking how a congregation that claims to be associated with the church was able to reach a point where it says we're going to have a woman preacher, and how a university claimed to be associated with the church could do this. Well, I'd like to suggest the answer is largely in Acts chapter 20. Paul said to these elders, you need to watch. Some people failed to watch. Now, maybe there were some other things that were involved. And a university, which at least in the past has pledged to uphold the truths of the New Testament, has also had some people who have failed to watch. Regardless what others think and believe, we need to be watchful because that's what God says to do. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, that sounds so difficult. It sounds so hard. Well, that attitude is by no means new. The Corinthians apparently struggled with it because in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, Paul says four things to these brethren. He says, first of all, I want you to watch. You need to watch. And not only do you need to watch, you need to stand fast. God has the faith. And Paul tells his people, you need to stand fast in the faith. If watching and standing fast in the faith were not enough, Paul says you need to behave like men. Not women, not children, be a man. And if that wasn't enough, Paul said you need to be strong. Watching is a command. Some today are failing to watch because they know that that may require them to stand up for God and His Word. But God says to His people, not a suggestion, not a recommendation, but God says if you want to be one of my people, you need to watch. And this watching is joined with some other things. We, as we think about this word that's translated watch, turn our minds to Colossians 4, verse 2. Here Paul uses this same word, but in this particular case, he joins it with prayer. Sometimes people watch, but as they watch, they don't put anything with it. Prayer is a key part of the Christian life. And Paul says that if we're going to watch, if we're going to watch successfully and do it in the right way, we need to be people who pray. Well, that's not surprising. When we went through the information from the life of Christ, Matthew chapter 26, what did Jesus say? He said, watch. But that's not the only thing the Lord said. The Lord said, you also need to watch and pray. There's temptation here. Watching is going to help. But you also need to be willing to pray as you watch. Sometimes we watch things that we personally can't stop. We see things maybe in our nation. That as we watch, as we look, as we monitor some things, we think that's bad. But we're only one person. We're only one congregation. The Christians in this country, as far as those who are truly trying to do what's right, it seems so small compared to the opposition. Watch. But also Colossians 4 verse 2. With that watching, as perhaps you see situations which are too great for us to personally stop or deal with, also pray. Because God has the power, the ability to act. Sometimes watching tires people. Folks feel fatigued. Pray. Pray and find some strength. Watching may leave us in a situation where we wonder how to deal with the situation. This is so perplexing. This is so difficult. How can we navigate this issue? Watch and pray. Colossians 4 verse 2. Watching is right. Watching is commanded. But it is a watching which is associated with prayer. You know, as we begin to look at this word that's translated watch, we begin to find just how often it pops up in the New Testament. We've seen it with the life of Christ and the disciples, all people in the second coming. And then we've seen it at the Corinthian congregation from 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13. And we saw it in Ephesus, Acts chapter 20. When we look at the Thessalonian church, Paul said, you also need to be watchers. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6 says, watch and be sober. This is something Paul says that requires a great deal of attention. Pray about it, Colossians 3 verse 2, but also be sober. This is a very serious matter, so we need to give serious consideration to spiritual things. One of the key reasons that we need to be so watchful is found in a text that I think is familiar to everyone here. And if you've not turned along thus far to any passages, I would at least like you to turn along to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is probably the best-known verse in the Bible when it comes to talking about the devil. It is this passage where Peter compares Satan to a roaring lion. Peter comes right out and says that Satan wants to devour people. It is this passage where Peter says that the devil is our adversary. Let's get the exact wording and watch for the word that we've been talking about this morning. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, be sober, be watchful, that's our word. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Well, the word that's translated watch or watchful or vigilant is the same word that we started with in Revelation chapter 3. Now, we may not think about it too often, but the devil is watching mankind. The devil is perhaps one of the best monitors the world will ever see. And that devil, he's watching, He's looking. He's vigilant about trying to find ways where he can inflict great damage on God's people. That desire, that satanic desire, makes it necessary. It requires us, Peter says, to be watchful. If we're not watchful individually, congregationally, brotherhood-wise, we're ripe. We're overly ripe for Satan's attacks. God's command to watch is clear. But we live in a time where a lot of people are not watching for the Lord's return. They don't think about it. They think, well, one day I'll be old, and then maybe that's a time to turn my mind to spiritual things. And we've got so many things going on right now in daily life with children and work and everything else. They're not watchful about spiritual things. Every single day, every single hour, every minute, every second, we need to remember that now might be the time for the Lord's return. He might return before this lesson's finished. We don't know. Jesus says you don't know the time. But you do know that you need to be watchful. Others fail to be spiritually alert, as we see in congregations. Acts chapter 20. Some try to watch, but they don't watch with prayer. Colossians 3 verse 2. Others watch, but they're not really mindful of what the devil can do to them. And that leaves them wide open for an attack by Satan. Being watchful is like everything else that is associated with the Christian life. We can be obedient. We can say, God, this is what you've commanded, and we're going to do it. Or we can decide that we're going to head in some other way. The only choice that leads to heaven, though, is to be a Christian and to be one who's watchful, along with the other things that he requires. This morning, are we someone, maybe we're watchful, we're good about being watchful in the secular things of life. We never leave the garage door down. We never forget an appointment. We're always on top of things when it comes to our health. What about in the spiritual realm? Are we watchful about our spiritual life? If not, we're in spiritual danger. It may be, as we discussed last week, that we've left our spiritual life deteriorate, and maybe we don't realize how bad it is. We need to go back and be watchful and say maybe there's some things that need to be fixed, and they need to be fixed today. For the person who's not a Christian, look at your life. See where you are. Become watchful, spiritually alert, and think about your relationship with God. If you're not yet a Christian, that's the first step. You may believe in Christ, and that's good. That's some degree of watchfulness. The person who looks at life and sees that they're not living in accordance with the Bible, they've been that watchful, that's also good. That's a step closer to salvation. If we're really watchful, though, we'll confess that Christ is the Son of God. There is no Savior but Him. And then, if we're especially sensitive to spiritual things, we want to do the will of God, we're looking, we're watching, we'll take that last step to become a Christian. We'll be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:38. And then we'll continue to be watchful, mindful, vigilant when it comes to living the Christian life every single day. Are we a Christian? And are we watchful? These are the questions that we want to ask and answer as we stand and sing the selected songs.